to tell you first about an article that I read recently. I found it fascinating. It says that now, people who are being born now, are the average expected life is going to be 80 years, which is really kind of awesome. Now, this article went to break down how someone will spend those 80 years, category by category. Some fascinating things. 26 years out of the 80 that you live, say you live 80, will be spent asleep. Isn't that crazy? Another 7 years, they estimate, will be spent trying to fall asleep. So 33 years of your life, 80 years on this life, will either be asleep or trying to fall asleep, which is why I want to tell you about this mattress that changed my... No, I'm just kidding. It does sound like a mattress commercial starting up. Some other things that were fascinating to me in this article. 4 years of your life will be spent sitting and eating meals. A couple years on vacation. 11 years staring at a screen. I'm not talking about a computer screen at work. I'm talking about watching an iPad or a TV, Netflix, YouTube. If we wonder why there are no more Michelangelos carving Davids out of marble, it's because we're watching TikTok instead. That's what's happening. 13 years of your life, and this is the part that really got me thinking, but 13 years of your life is going to be spent working. 13 of your 47 working. The work is essentially the pursuit of money, right? Nobody works for free. It is me trading my life for the money that I need to survive. And a large part of my life will be spent pursuing that. And so it wasn't surprising to me in the least when we opened up our questions and answers series that we got a lot of questions about money and the pursuit of it. To me, it was a good sign. It's maybe that scripture is the thing that is prompting these questions, because by one source that I read, 2,300 different instances within scripture talk about wealth and possessions and money. God has a lot to say about our money. Our lives are going to be spent chasing after money, pursuing money. Two questions caught my eye. We'll throw those on the screen, and I'm sort of combining these all in one sermon today. One question, is gambling a sin, came in. Great question. And then another question came in, isn't investing in the stock market basically just gambling? Two questions that I saw that really piqued my interest. And this might just be because I watch a lot of sports, but man, it seems like gambling is everywhere right now. Growing up, it wasn't like that for me. I don't know about you. What I knew about gambling as a kid was I knew that some people played poker for a couple of bucks with their friends, and I knew that there were casinos, right? Because I'd seen Rain Man and Ocean's 11. I knew these things existed. They weren't near me, though. But my first experience with a casino, work, took me and Jara to Atlantic City. We had to go to a restaurant, which happened to be located in a casino, and we got there around midnight. And I don't know what it was that I was expecting when I walked into that casino looking for that restaurant, but I can tell you that what I saw has left a mark on me. I can tell you it wasn't like Rain Man, and it wasn't like Ocean's 11. There was no diamonds. What I saw and what I remember is row upon row of elderly people sitting at slot machines, putting in quarters and pulling levers after midnight, just dressed in their normal clothes. And I can tell you something was very unsettling to me about that. Enough so that I started to research about gambling, which I didn't know anything about. And, you know, I saw all sorts of economic impact studies and the ways in which gambling is good, supposedly. And then I also saw the stories of how gambling has ruined people's lives, how it's addictive and compulsive. And then I see the way in which it's spreading across our culture, and it's becoming, I mean, every other ad that I see on social media is a gambling ad. And I think, man, this is something we should address and talk about. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to talk first about this question, is gambling a sin? I'll just tell you right off the bat, I want to go to scripture for that right? I don't want to just give you my opinion. Everything that we do, we try to seek out God's word. And I can tell you, in God's word, there are no explicit prohibitions against gambling. There are no thou shalt nots. We've got thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder. There is no thou shalt not gamble. But we also know, as students of the Bible, that sin is not a list of do's and don'ts. If you just simply look at James chapter 4, verse 17, I think that this is illustrated very clearly in the words of James. He says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin." We also know that the Apostle Paul talks about matters of conscience and how some things are sin for some people at some times and they're not sins for others at other times. We know that we have the Holy Spirit. We have a conscience. And so while there is no specific prohibition for sin, what we do know, or for gambling rather, we do know that it can be for some people sinful and for others it might not be. We also know that there needs to be nuance to these conversations. I know that's hard to talk about. It's hard to preach nuance. But let's just be honest here. If I have budgeted within my budget $20 for fun that month, and I decide to join a family March Madness pool, that's gambling. I'm gambling. If I am deeply in debt, and I take out another $50 on a credit card in order to play online poker, that's also gambling, but those two things morally are different. Can we admit that? If I have $5 in my pocket that I was going to use to buy a hot dog on a golf course, and I bet my buddy $5 I'm gonna sink this putt, that's gambling. But if I take $500 out of my kid's college fund in order to bet on an NFL game, that's also gambling, but those two things are different. We have to have nuance. We have to be aware of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. We have to have a biblical worldview that goes beyond just looking for a list of black and white yes and no. We have to be able to think through these processes. Because I want to honor God. I don't want to obey the letter of the law. I want to obey God. I want to honor him with my life, every part of it. And so here's what I will say. While gambling may not always be a sin, I do believe that it is spiritually dangerous. I don't think there's any question about that. We just need to admit, listen, we are not the Puritans of the 1500s and 1600s who won't even play cards lest we feel tempted to gamble. Okay, we are the people that are wondering, all right, how fast can I go over the speed limit before I'll actually get the ticket? How close can I get to the line before I've actually crossed the line? I'm going to test that. That's our culture. We're not a holiness culture. We have to know that about ourselves. So for me, I looked at scripture and I came up with three questions that I think will help you to think through and pray through specific different instances where you may be tempted to engage in gambling and how you should think through it or could, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at these three questions to ask. And then what you're going to be able to do, hopefully, is begin to apply these questions to whatever instance might come up in your life. And by doing that, you're going to live wisely before the Lord. Question number one is this. Am I loving my neighbor? Am I loving my neighbor? In Mark chapter 12, there's this incredibly famous exchange between Jesus and a scribe or a Pharisee. And they're arguing about the law, and this scribe hears Jesus talking to these other religious leaders, and he likes what he has to hear. So he comes up to ask Jesus a question. He comes up and he asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment that is greater than these.'" The two greatest commandments are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We should not violate these commandments. Now, what does gambling have to do with loving my neighbor? To me, I came to this realization as I thought through this, that those elderly people who are sitting at midnight in Atlantic City putting their quarters into their slot machine, that's their social security checks, right? If I was to walk up and find a quarter off the floor, wait till one hopped off the stool, put it into that slot machine, pulled the thing and won a jackpot, I am in essence taking that person's social security check. That's where the money came from. Those are the quarters that come out. Now, you might dispute me saying I'm taking it because they gave it voluntarily, and I'm not disputing that. That was their decision. There should be personal accountability, but I know enough about compulsion and addiction to know that it's not always that simple when it comes to loving our neighbor. And what happens is what casinos have done or what large gambling organizations or mobile apps or websites, what they've done is they have effectively put a screen between you and the person that you're winning money from. And so here is what I've grappled with. And we can have a conversation about this later if you want to, if you disagree. But if I had a neighbor and I knew his name's Jim, okay, his wife's Sheila. He's got two kids, and Sheila's talked to my wife, and I know that Jim's got a compulsive, addictive gambling problem. The people that are affected by Jim's gambling issue, do you know who they are? Right, it's Sheila and the kids. And so if Jim comes up to me in the backyard and he's like, hey man, I got $100 that the Browns beat the Bengals this weekend. I'll bet you that $100. And I know in my mind, right, I know in my mind that he's wrong. I can win that money. All right? Depends on if Burrow's playing or not. Okay. But like I know, but here's what I also know. I know that they're behind on their mortgage. I know that that's his grocery money. That's his utility bill. I would never make that bet. And I would venture to say that there's almost not a single person in here that would make that bet either. Because you knew that it would not be loving to your neighbor to do that, to support that, to participate in it. Listen, that is exactly what happens whether you see the faces and know the names or not. And whether it's, I know that it's undoubtedly true that some people are gambling out of their abundance and they're gambling responsibly. There are also undoubtedly people that are gambling money that they cannot afford to lose, and it's damaging their lives and their families, innocent people. And so we have to grapple with whether we're loving our neighbor well when we do that. That's something that you have to be willing to submit to the Holy Spirit and ask that question before you participate. The second question that I want to ask is whether I'm falling prey to greed. Like I said, Scripture says a lot about money. It's all over the place. But I don't think that God demonizes wealth. Just read through the Proverbs. God is not demonizing wealth building. He really doesn't. He encourages people to invest wisely, to work hard, to save, to be smart. God doesn't demonize that. But what he does is he warns us about the ways in which money tries to begin to compete for the throne of our heart in our lives. God has some very stern warnings about that. He has some very stern warnings for us about laying up for ourselves treasures on earth as opposed to treasure in heaven, about spending our money on things that will rust and fall apart and go away and things that won't, about investing in eternity. God has very stern warnings about that. But he also talks very much about this idea of greed. And greed is sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, probably the most famous passage about money, the one that most of us know and misquote, verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he says this, and I just want you to hear this warning. Listen to this warning. But those who desire to be what? Rich. they fall into temptation. Not those that desire to work hard, to invest wisely, to be smart, to give money, to be generous, those that want to be rich. They fall into many temptations, into a snare, into senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into what, church? Ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It's through this craving that some people have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Man, what a warning that is to us. To check our motivations for participating in whatever gambling opportunity we might have. There's a million ways. Is it a desire to build wealth quickly and without having to work for it? Well, Proverbs talks about that in chapter 28, verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessings. That's wealth. But whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. If you try to skip the steps, if you try to just win the jackpot without doing the work, what we see is that it actually ends up being destructive in your life. I know story after story after story of someone who wins the lottery and says, "It was the worst thing that ever happened to me." They didn't take the necessary steps to build wealth in a way that is honoring to God. They didn't know how to use or handle money in a way that is honoring to God or faithful. They just wanted to get rich. And in turn, it destroyed them. I need to ask myself before I participate, is greed my motivation? And if it is, I should not be participating in it. The last question that I ask myself is whether I'm making the best use of my time. Am I making the best use of my time? There is this verse, and I guess it's two verses in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, that, man, every time I read them, they're very challenging for me. We read this, "Look carefully then how you walk." And that word walk, it means how you go through your life. Look carefully then how you go through your life. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We talked about how we spend so much of our life working in order to earn money, don't we? 13 years if we live 80. In the pursuit of money, I'm literally trading my life for those dollars. That's what's happening. I'm trading my life for that money. I need to ask myself, is this the best way to spend my life? When I put money on the roll of a dice or the flip of a card, is that what I want to trade my life for? I got some really good investment advice one time. A guy told me, he said, "Buy land. God's not making any more of it." Right? I thought, you know, that's good. But I can tell you, if someone could figure out how to buy and sell time, they'd be the richest person that ever walked the face of the earth. That is a commodity that you only get once. You don't know how much of it you've got. And every second, it's just slipping away from you. There's a famous French philosopher and author named Voltaire. He's an atheist. And on his deathbed, he had a conversation with his doctor. And he said to his doctor, "Doctor, I will give you half of my wealth for another 6 months to live." And the doctor couldn't give it to him. English skeptic and atheist Thomas Hobbes on his deathbed said, "If I owned the whole world," these were his dying words, "if I owned the whole world, I'd give it all to live one more day." There should be some urgency with our lives. You worked hard. You traded your time and your life for that money. Be wise with what you do with it. Invest it in eternity. Invest it in eternal things. Don't give it away lightly. When I think about gambling, is it sinful? No, not in every situation, not for every person. It's a nuanced conversation. And we need to be able to look through things with a biblical worldview and to ask some hard questions. Questions like, hey, if I jump into this, am I loving my neighbor well or am I going to hurt somebody? Am I making the best use of my time? Am I participating in it because I want to get rich quick, because I want greed? Because I'm greedy. Those are questions that I ask myself. Hopefully those will be helpful to you in whatever situation you find yourself in when it comes to this topic. Now, the second question, I want to make sure we have some time. The second question was this. Isn't investing in the stock market basically just the same as gambling? Man, let me tell you, what a great question. I read that question along with all the other submissions, and that one stopped me in my tracks. So whoever you are, give yourself a little pat on the back, all right? Good work. That was a great question. As always, we want to take God's word, right? And we want to try to apply it. And so I started thinking through, all right, what does God's word have to say about these things? It says a lot about money, doesn't say anything about a stock market, and it doesn't really say a lot about gambling. But there was one passage in Matthew chapter 25 that stuck out to me. It continued to play over in my mind, and it's Jesus, and it's the parable of the talents. Jesus tells this parable, and for time's sake, I'm going to just run through it quickly with you. Jesus tells this parable of a master or a ruler who has three different servants. And before he goes away on a long trip, he gives each of those servants a sum of money. And what those servants are meant to do with that money is invest it for him. Now, two of those servants invest that money and they earn a return. They double their money while the master is away. And when the master comes back, he says, "Well done," to those who invested that money and earned a return. One of those servants buries that money in the ground because he's afraid of losing it. He hides it under the mattress, if you will. And the master comes back and he does not have positive things to say about that servant. Now, what this tells me, okay, it doesn't answer the question about gambling, but it does tell me, all right, Jesus is not anti-capitalist. He understood money and investing. I think that it goes beyond money. It talks about stewardship, the stewardship of the gifts and the talents and the things that God gives us. And our job is to make those multiply or increase here on the earth so that we can have an abundance to help others who are in need and to support our own families, to support the kingdom of God and God's work, missionaries, pastors. Now, that is one thing that comes to mind. But the more that I thought about this, I thought that it might be helpful for us to talk about definitions. What is the definition of gambling? Here's the definition of gambling. Gambling is leveraging money that you have in order to attempt to gain more money in ways that are statistically unlikely to work. Okay? How many of you have ever heard the house always wins? You ever heard that? Listen, there's a reason why the casinos have marble floors and crystal chandeliers and our houses don't. It's because they're taking our money. They win. It's statistically unlikely to work. That's what makes it gambling. Investing has some similarities to that. The definition of investing is that it is leveraging money that you have, very same thing, in a calculated way in order to attempt to gain profit or return on your investment. So investing and gambling do have some similarities. It is leveraging money that you have to try to make more money. Both of them are risky. They involve risk, but I don't think that the levels of risk are the same. Here are three more differences that I think answered this question for me definitively. Maybe they'll be helpful for you. Okay, why is investing not just gambling? All right, number one, investing is guided. Gambling is unguided. Investing, by its very nature, is a guided process. You can research the type of stock that you buy. Stock is a piece of a company. So I can research, I can learn about that company, I can choose to invest in it. And then that company is run by people who are attempting to make sure that that money earns a return on investment. Gambling, by its very definition, is unguided. The moment that gambling becomes guided, it's not gambling anymore. In fact, it's highly illegal, right? Gambling is the roll of a dice. It's the flip of a card. That's what it's meant to be. That's what defines it. The moment that it's not, it's a boxer throwing a fight. It's a ref fixing a game. Gambling is unguided. Investing is guided. The second difference that I see is that investing attempts to create something of value, whereas gambling does not attempt to create value. When I invest money into a stock, I'm investing into a company that is providing a good or a service for our society. They are trying to create something of value that people want or need, that helps them, that they'll pay for. That's what I'm doing when I invest. I'm giving them money in order to create these things of value. Gambling doesn't do that in the same way. There's no value created by betting on whether or not the national anthem at the Super Bowl goes longer than 90 seconds or shorter than 90 seconds. Millions of dollars are lost on that, but there's no value gained. And then the last thing that shows me that these things are very different is that investing is not a zero-sum game, whereas with gambling, there is always someone that loses. Investing, it's very possible with investing for everyone to win. Just because I invest in a successful car company doesn't mean that another car company becomes unsuccessful. Maybe one car company is making luxury cars, and another car company is making electric vehicles, and another car company specializes in trucks. All of those can succeed at the same time. With gambling, unlike that, the way that I win or earn money is by you losing. And so it's a great question. I appreciate whoever it was that wrote that in. You really made me think from a biblical perspective on these issues. Wonderful question. Listen, friends, what we need to do, as always, is we're seeking to apply God's word to our life. The Bible will never have an exhaustive list of yes or no, good, bad, right, wrong, that we can just go to. We have to learn to apply God's word. We have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to submit ourselves and our lives to the scrutiny of God's word and the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that in obedience, you'll find the same joy that I know God promises to all of us. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, God, which is so exhaustive and is so life-giving and gives us truth. Lord, I know this world that we live in just wants us to blindly go along, to not ask hard questions, to not seek out answers of whether or not this is something that honors God or dishonors God, but I pray that we as a church would be different. Lord, that we would truly commit to following you, even in ways that may be countercultural at times. Father, I pray that each and every person in here would know how loved they are by you. God, that we would begin to feel like each and every day is a gift, an opportunity to serve and to worship and to invest in eternity. Lord, that our time is precious. I thank you, Jesus, for loving us in spite of the many times that I've failed, Lord, and fallen short. We worship you today, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name.